sit down and set off our secrets in fine black pen. Maybe someday we'll see them again. Close the book for now. I'll take the next train west. Sinking sun sets the frozen air on fire. Nothing to do but run, run, run. Keep heading west. Don't look back. I won't look back. And they said the fog, settling for the winter. I hop off the train just north of my way. Stumble blindly down the coast. Don't hear any engines. Don't see any people. People are what I need the most. And they say see past the fog, settling for the winter. Maybe someday you'll escape. That bitter town behind. We can move forward together, falling in and out of our minds. And they say
the fall. Go. I don't know what happened. That was pretty weird. That was kind of a weird technical thing. Are we going to be on the radio? We are going to be live. We are looking at those little glowing lights.
Hello.
Is my mic on?
I don't think my mic is on.
Oh, I'm on.
Yeah, your mics are on, folks.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm excuse on us. Hello. Hi. Welcome to the.
Is this thing on?
Yeah. Hello. Hello.
I can't tell. I can't hear myself. Hi. This is, you're listening to the voice of Vashon KVSH in downtown suite Vashon, Washington on Vashon Island, 101.9 FM. You're listening to The Klatch. Welcome. My name is Linda Nygaard, and I'll be your host today. And with me in the studio, I have Susan McCabe.
Hello.
And we have a guest host today, Miss Cindy Hoyt. I don't know why I said Miss. I said it last week, too. I got to get over that. Anyway, Cindy Hoyt is here to join us. Ms. Yes. And she, well, we're going to introduce her. I'm going to let Susan introduce her because she knows more about Cindy than I do. But what I know is that Cindy's written a hilarious book. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But right now, let's find out a little bit about Cindy.
Okay, I'll tell you what I think I know about Cindy. And that is that she's one of the funniest people on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I've always thought that. She has been, she's had a wonderful 40-year travelogue marriage to Jeff Hoyt.
I know.
Who is the voice of the voice of Vashon.
And we are all very jealous of every place you've gone. Well, maybe not every place, but.
Yeah, I'd like to hear about the real downers.
Yeah.
There have been a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's been part of Voice of Vashon and for as long as it's been around. She's a writer. We're going to talk about one of her books this afternoon.
So, go ahead.
Go ahead. That's go all ahead. I've got. Mother
Two. You know, Miss...
Church of Great Rain.
Church of Great
Church
Rain.
Church of Great Rain.
Like Susan.
Yes.
Yes.
We've done
yes.
many things together.
Our regular other person, Heidi Skrypek, is in Croatia. I think she's home right now. If you're listening, Heidi, hi. But she's probably in jet lag. And she'll be back with us on whatever our next show is.
The fourth Tuesday.
The 24th of August. So, for now, let's check in about COVID and see how we're doing with that. You know, I got the situation awareness email yesterday, was it? And we are up to 138 cases.
Total cases.
Total and, cases for the year, but that's up from 121 last week.
Well, and we need
week.
To mention that this is August 10th, 2021.
Yes, I was going to say that.
You are here.
Yeah. If you're listening next year, which you might.
We don't want to
scare
Don't
be afraid.
Yeah. You never know when these shows are going to pop up in the
right.
random rotation.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, and every single one of the people who has tested positive has tested for Delta. That's what it is. And they have also 100% are unvaccinated. So,
oh really? None of the folks? Oh, I think
no
at least one of the people
the
who got
oh they had a break.
Was,
yes, one had a breakthrough. I'm sorry.
Yes,
all that exaggeration. Anyway, it's get your shots, people. You know. So really, for me personally, I guess the COVID. I have some sad news in my life, and my brother recently passed. And I, you know, that's hard, but I've chosen not to go to the funeral because it's in a state where there aren't many vaccinations. They're not even 50% vaccinated. So I, you know, I'm not going to go to the funeral and I feel really bad about that, but I'm high risk and they don't wear masks and, you know. So how about you guys?
Well, I have a friend who lives in California who, has felt like he had to make the opposite decision. And he, I think right now, even is at a memorial in Montana.
Is he?
His town of Libby was actually on an NPR story about people not getting vaccinated a couple of months ago.
And he's decided to go anyway.
Yeah, and
he's a little nervous, but...
Yeah. Well, it's Montana. Where I would be going is Montana.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah. And I... You know, I it's a hard decision, but I'm high risk, so I gotta
can't
stay
mess
home.
With that.
Yeah, no, you can't. Susan, what's going on in your world with the COVID bug?
Well, you know, I just find myself practicing the same cautions I practiced before Delta, and that is masking indoors. I'm not masking much outdoors, but masking indoors, washing my hands. You know. They look like tree trunks already anyway. So it doesn't matter a whole lot.
They
I just
don't
keep
look
washing
like tree
them.
Trunks.
Tree roots, actually. And practicing the same things that I have throughout the pandemic. I have to say, as part of the Vashon Theater Fest, I spent the last two weekends of July in contact with the general public.
A lot of people.
Outdoors and no masks.
Yeah.
Well,
I think outdoors were pretty safe, but I'm...
Well, and this is the 10th. Wouldn't we know by now if...
If I had something?
No, and if that had started something.
Right, if it was like a super spreader, what we need. Yeah,
because it's been about 10 days since the last performance.
Well, yeah, and how about
And usually they show up before now.
Right.
The cases.
And how about the 700,000 bikers in Sturgis, South Dakota?
Yeah, right, how about that?
700,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently they had a lot of contact tracing to last year's Sturgis Festival.
Because they come from all states.
It was much smaller.
Yeah. It was,
it was
only 300,000 last year.
Let's have a targeted event. And then everybody with bacteria just disseminates across the entire country.
Yeah. Let's just do that. That makes a lot of sense.
What a good idea.
Jeez. You know,
lucky humans are still here at all.
Well,
yeah, I don't think we have a lot of time left, though.
That kind of logic.
Yeah. Yeah. With the current IPCC report on climate change and how rapidly it is accelerating, I don't think we have a whole lot more time for humans.
Mm-hmm.
10, 20 years, maybe.
Yeah. So be careful out there, people. You know, last week, Cindy, you weren't here, but 2 weeks ago when the show was on, the theme was beauty. And we had, if you didn't listen to it, we just had lots of different takes on beauty and what it is and what it means. And not, you know, it doesn't mean Fifth Avenue kind of beauty. We're talking about all kinds of other things. And I got some interesting responses from that show. And one of them I would like to read to you from my friend Emma Wilcock, who lives in Edinburgh, Scotland. She says she believes that we need a second episode to expand upon the section where we explored notions of beauty from non-Western standards, which I think is a great idea. And she's talking about Nigerian women and how beautiful they are. And of course, she spent some time in Nigeria and was talking about every day seeing those beautiful, loose, flowery, patterned dress of the specific style. And that the white Australian... Oh, he was in... Australia, I'm sorry. The white Australian men who lived among us at that time often spoke disparagingly about the Aboriginal women, yet more often than not, they would have one as a partner. Hmm. My thinking on this is especially in the presentation of European women was that what men think is attractive and what women think is attractive comes from different places. There may be some crossover at times in judgment of attractiveness, yet the Aboriginal women knew they were as beautiful and attractive as any other women. And she thought that was just really an interesting point because it's very different from what we were talking about. What she also said was, let me get to this. Emma is a friend I met when her name was Eric. And that was years ago, and she has made the, as she calls it, tentative transition into full womanhood. And what she said she would like to talk about is how women who are women naturally have a sense of how they are. They have a sense of their style, how we do this. And she said, you know, as a former man, I get really puzzled about how to do things. And she said there are things like gestures or the way a woman might tip her head or the things that we don't really, we wouldn't necessarily think about as having to be part of that transition. And what she said was the subject is massive and central to so many people's lives, not only women. By the way, I was impressed and touched by the gentle way with which you all spoke about trans people. Beauty as a concept to be hung on trans people is a fractious and vibrant area, which I think you bravely examined. It's a minefield even for me.
Especially for her, I would think.
Yeah.
I was intrigued by that notion of the difference between women's idea of beauty and men's idea of beauty. And when you mentioned the Aboriginal women in Australia who were taken as partners by white Australian men, I started thinking it's got a lot to do then with character and with bearing and with perhaps confidence.
Maybe.
That makes them attractive in their own way rather than in the classic Western sense.
Well, and don't you think, too, that there's always been an appeal, a taste for the exotic in all of us.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, you know, that's true,
too. You look at guys from other cultures and go, wow,
She said, this is a quote. She said, I found the show super interesting because as someone who tentatively crossed the gender divide, I know far too little about how other women think.
And I would think that would be a real challenge for a transgender person. And, you know, you can see that in folks who have gone from male to female, that you see they either way overdo makeup and
or there's much
hair,
hesitation.
Or there's hesitation.
Like with the shows.
Right.
Drag shows.
The drag shows.
Yeah. And I think they're having a great time.
They sure look like they're having
a creative endeavor.
I think to myself watching them, how come I'm not having this much fun being a woman?
Right, exactly. Why isn't it so much? Why don't I have such a great time painting myself and putting on wigs and dressing my body and corsets?
Well, maybe we should try it one time and just see how we like it.
Do a female drag show?
Yeah, do a female drag show. See what it's like, women impersonating women.
Just the idea of beauty in a cultural context. I mean, I think about what comes to mind to me is sometimes it's things other cultures really dig, and we're just like, you know, those tribes that put entire plates in their lower lips. And it hangs down.
Yeah.
Or the women who have the neck rings in Southeast Asia that are so high, they actually damage their spine.
Foot binding.
Foot binding, yes.
Yeah. I don't think those
scarification.
Those things were not intended for beauty. They're intended for control and entrapment.
Well, originally,
to keep them from being attractive to other tribal men.
I think in the case of foot binding in particular, I've read a lot of Chinese novels, which makes me an expert. Some of them were by Pearl S. Buck, so that's got to count for something.
It has to.
But it seems like it started out as a sort of a captive kind of a tool, but evolved into, cultural exposure.
Mm-hmm. A sign of beauty.
And if a certain kind of woman is the only one whose feet are bound, because not every woman's feet were bound. The peasants weren't. They had to work in the field.
Oh, and they were not desirable.
And so now suddenly, you know, like pale skin, as we talked about last week, suddenly that was a must have. You wanted your feet bound, and men started finding that part of the attractiveness package. So it's all cultural.
Yeah, and class. Classist, if you
that
will.
That ties into it as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Jewelry, same thing, really, if you take it to a
it's
different
about class.
Level.
Right, right. Well, so I just would like to thank Emma for responding and for saying so elegantly what she said.
All that stuff.
All that stuff she said was really good, Emma.
That was cool.
Thank you. And moving right along, it's time for our tidbits section. Oh, I should tell you too, you know, you can email us to make a comment like Emma did at voiceofvashon.org. The Clatch at voiceofvashon.org.
With a K.
Yeah. Anyway, so now we have this little section called Tidbits. And this little section is just totally unrelated things. And one thing I wanted to talk about today that I learned from a science journal is that the title of the article is The Unappreciated Importance of Cats to Medical Science. Now, don't shiver. Don't shiver about the medical science because... this is good. People tend to either love them or hate them, and cats are often underappreciated by the scientific community, says Leslie Lyons, a professor at the University of Missouri. And he is a veterinarian and a specialist in cat genetics. So what they're doing is they're researching, first of all, to set your minds at ease, the kind of research they do requires a blood sample. That's all. Nothing else. It's genetics. They're not torturing.
Or the cat's hairbrush or something like
that. Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Lipstick.
But among the advances in veterinary medicine that have benefited humans, remdesivir, which was combating COVID, was first successfully used against a cat disease caused by another coronavirus.
Cool.
Isn't that interesting?
I'm a cat person. So
yeah, I'm a cat person, too.
All the things you say good about cats are going to work for me.
So wait, didn't remdesivir, isn't that what Trump took?
Well, and that's what, they have it now available for people who need it. I mean, if you're really, really sick.
But does it really, really work?
You're thinking of hydrochloroquine or something. You're thinking of that other thing.
Like the malaria.
Yeah, right, I am.
Yeah, remdesivir does work.
Never mind.
Yeah, okay. It does work.
This is what he got when he, quote unquote, got over it all by himself.
All by himself, yeah, because he's so strong.
In the president hospital.
With the president doctor. Yeah. With the president doctor liar.
And you other have people's blood. Okay, we'll stop.
All right, so now we're going to talk about cats, okay? They already have all the lions and tigers and the Asian leopard cat, half a dozen species with really, really good genomes. And the goal is to complete the encyclopedia of a cat's DNA so we can fully understand the genetic basis for all traits. And like, for instance, they know that dogs get cancer more frequently than cats do. Why is that? It's a fascinating story of evolution. And so they're zeroing in on cats to find out what makes them so strong against cancer.
Yeah, so maybe we can apply that to humans, huh?
Yeah, that's the goal. And then some of the other things that they're working with are health problems of wild cats and transitional cell carcinoma in fishing cats. You know, the cats that are all over helping fish are having some cancer problems.
And cats are helping fish?
Right.
Harvesting, helping. They're helping to fish. You know, the cat, they fish with the people that are in the boats.
They like do?
Oh, God, don't call me on this one. But yes, I did.
I like that. I want to see it.
Look up fishing cats,
but
what
cats
we're talking
don't like
about.
Water.
And black-footed cats inherit blindness frequently. So they're working on that.
Mm.
Polycystic kidney disease in palace cats is very common.
We still have palace cats?
P-A-L-L-A. Pala. Pala.
Not ones that
not
live
the palace.
In the palace.
The A-C-E, no.
Under the this queen and Pala. Went to visit the queen and sat under her chair. And
yeah. No, not that one. And snow leopards have terrible eye problems.
Wow.
So they're trying to research on all this. And what they have found is that the DNA types they get from the cats in Egypt go back to the very beginning. And the cats in Egypt are the cats in Egypt. They don't have any other genome in them except their, you know, their Egyptian origins. So I just found that really interesting about cats.
Yeah.
And I know you're a cat person too.
Well, I found fishing cats, but they're not necessarily helping people. They just like to fish for themselves.
Are they, yeah, they're fishing cats.
Cats are not really into helping.
Oh, I thought
people.
They were helping. I thought they went on the
boat. Sitting in the boats. That's right. Spotters.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
This is why I never made my living as a reporter. It's why I made my living as a storyteller.
Yeah, storyteller is not so much fact checking.
Well, facts, I can always rely. I have a friend named Karen, and every time I say, you know, it was at least 30 feet long, and she said, "Now, wait a minute." You know, so thank you for
correcting
that.
But your story's better.
I know the stories, but I say, why let the facts get in the way of a good story?
I noticed you have a note here about catnip being a mosquito repellent.
Yeah,
isn't that interesting? Well, you know how cats are, just they just get in euphoria
with
it. Do you know about silver vine? Do your cats like silver vine? It's
I
haven't
heard of that one.
I found one at a pet store. It's a stick, and it's got some of the same qualities that catnip has. And one of my cats didn't look at it, was no big deal. My other cat carries it around like a dog carries a bone.
Really?
Loves it. Chews on it. Loves it. And it's like catnip. So he's high all the time. And then they also, they do help cats ward off mosquitoes. And this is in the Journal of Science Advances. And it's the first to draw a direct link between the plants and their protective effects.
So you mean they ingest the catnip.
Cats and they rub it on their fur. They rub it on their fur.
And the mosquitoes don't like it?
And they
tried it in one of those fish tanks, you know, like
probably.
The old off commercials.
I don't know. I wasn't there when they did
spray
the research.
Spray a cat with catnip and then put it in one of those fish tanks filled with mosquitoes.
No, but what they did do.
I want to see
there's a visual.
What they did, something very similar. They had in the cat's cages, they had the papers, big papers laced with catnip. Molecules, or they laced it with catnip, and they put it up on the lid, and the cats would climb the walls to get to it, and would try to rub themselves upside down on the top of the on the top, and just to get to it, and it seems to have the same sway over leopards and jaguars.
Don't you wish
lynxes.
Humans had a drug that we can do that with? Because then you wouldn't have to worry about your lungs or your digestive system getting involved. You could just rub a little on your arm. And
I wonder if anybody tried that. Maybe we could rub some catnip on our arms.
They're saying in the article, no.
I have a friend who tried to smoke it.
No human interaction. But one of the trials they ran was that they had, they put some cats who had been rolling in the catnip and had catnip on their faces in the same room as they put cats who had not been treated or had not been playing with the catnip. And it was full of mosquitoes, and the mosquitoes went to the cats who had not been treated. Well, treated's not the right word.
But. And I didn't even realize cats had a problem with mosquito bites.
I didn't either.
Well, come to think of it,
we don't have very many mosquitoes here, so...
Some years. Not this year.
Not this year.
But we've had them at our house a lot sometimes.
Yeah. They're still trying to figure out what it is about catnip for cats. And they had suspected a link that it was, you know how they roll around and they just get all euphoric, that it was something about mating. But they suggest now that it's a natural defense. It may also help against heartworm.
You know,
because they can get heartworm from mosquito bites.
I'm beginning to think that the research scientist field is becoming glutted like the lawyer field, and people who are going into study catnip as a mosquito repellent for cats.
Well, he's a vet.
How do you get a grant for that?
He's a boutique
research.
Yeah. And this has been going on for years and years, and why don't we have grants? You know, they got grants. Somebody got a grant.
Why don't I have a grant?
I know.
That's what I want to know. Just for whatever.
I just want a grant.
Yeah.
Well, let's apply. I don't think there's any other news in there. It's just, you know, the bug rebuffing qualities of catnip and silver vine are clear. But we don't know if it's a natural replant will work for cats or humans. So
it is time to thank
Our sponsors. Thank you.
Dr. Stephen Nurse, CEO of Affirm Action Able Associates, is proud to support the Voice of Vashon, helping to make schools a better place for staff, students, and faculty through the Americans with Disabilities Act. You can find them on the web at disability-access.org.
Gravy is open with a little something extra. Salt and schmaltz. Gravy is open for in-person dining from Thursdays through Sundays, 11 to 6 p.m. Visit them on the web at gravyvashon.com.
We are so grateful to Gravy and all our other underwriters. Thank you. Without you, we would not be here clatching. So what's next, Ms. Host?
Well, we're in the middle of talking about our tidbits, just sort of little newsy tidbits from here and there.
Yeah, you said your butt is a measurement of
yeah,
what?
Yeah. Do you know butt? B-U-T-T. This is from South Florida Reporter.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you have a source.
See? Yeah, but it's from South Florida.
But it's from South Florida. But actually, she got the report from some science journal. Anyway, a butt was a medieval unit of measure for wine. Technically, yes, a buttload of wine is 126 gallons.
I like that. I'm going to file that away for future reference.
Well, you know, it's all about weights and measures. That this whole article was about weights and measures and how, you know, does a pound weigh a pound in Australia? They, you know, those silly questions
no,
people have.
Because it's
no.
South of the equator.
Right.
So what does it weigh?
You know, what things south of the equator weigh?
Yeah. Do the math.
Well, there's more gravity south of the equator because of the way
gravity?
The Earth spins. So everything south of the equator weighs approximately 17 ounces. No, I'm completely messing
Thank
with
you.
You.
I was going to say, do you really know this?
Man,
and then I was
going to
say, okay, so, oh my God.
I'm thinking
anyway.
This show is so educational.
I know. And you can trust everything we say. So anyway, on May 20th, 1875, the International Trade and Exchange Commission standardized weights and measures. And that's when all this research came out about old measurements. The original foot was said to be the length of a king's foot, which I think probably we knew. Chains were used to measure distance as well, with a chain being both an actual chain and a length of measure. There's one in here. Hang on.
Hands, just... like for horse height.
Yes.
That was a thing. Mm-hmm. Still is a thing.
Yeah, it is.
All for how high horses. Height,
yeah. Horses like 14 hands.
But I always wondered, you know, my hand is whose like hand? 7.5 inches from pinky to thumb, but that's probably not everybody.
A big guy's hand is a totally different thing.
Right. Another unit of measurement is smoot, S-M-O-O-T. That's after an MIT prank on Lambda Chi Alpha fraternity. Oliver Smoot, whose body was used to measure the Harvard Bridge in 1958. That's that he was 5 feet 7 inches, and the length of the Harvard Bridge is 364.4 smoots.
Wow!
So he measured the bridge with his
knowledge
body.
There.
You never know when you're going to need that. You know,
he's going down in history as the measurement for a bridge.
Yep.
Just that bridge.
Smoot.
No other bridge.
And in Tibet, distances used to be measured by the number of cups of tea that it would take to be drunk to get there.
Okay. So that book, 3 cups of tea, that actually meant like 15 minutes or something?
I don't know. Well, or no, you'd drink a tea.
2 minutes if he were really thirsty?
No, I would think.
Were you talking at the same time? Were you having
were
a
you
conversation?
Standing? Were you sitting? Were you in a coach?
Yeah,
were you
exactly.
riding a horse?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I thought
and
the same
thing. And
you had
to go to the bathroom right afterwards.
And then what?
And
yeah.
did you have putrefied yak's milk in the tea? Because that would take me a really
tea.
Long
it's
time.
It's yak
really
butter
drink.
Tea.
That's
yeah.
right.
Okay. So also, I just have one more that I really love. Do you know about the Sami people in Finland and the Swedish, Norwegian countries? They're reindeer. They follow the reindeer. And they live with the reindeer. And in their culture, the distance a reindeer can walk before he needs to urinate is called a peronskrishkima.
So that's a fixed
sure.
time? Somebody put a stopwatch on that?
It's called, you spell the word P-O-R-O-N-K-U-S-E-M-A, the distance a reindeer can walk before needing to urinate.
Did they get a grant for that?
Well,
this is another
I think
ridiculous.
This is... utter boredom showing through.
Yes.
Why? To come up with that?
To watch a reindeer walk long enough.
Yeah, but just think if you
to
were,
see one urinate twice. So because you couldn't do it just once.
You have to verify
a standard
it.
No,
it should be more than
you
twice.
Can confirm it.
Seven
yeah,
times.
They did have
should
to
be
have
seven.
A grant. Yeah.
And really, but if you think about those people, they just live with the reindeer. They're watching the reindeer. You know how long it takes your dog to go outside and pee?
I actually never timed it. And a male or a female dog?
Well, but this isn't timing. This is steps.
Distance.
Number of steps.
Distance. Yeah.
Okay. Definitely haven't counted the steps.
Yeah. So that, yeah. So butt was a medieval term. Now we should have a buttload of wine.
Yes. Call the vineyard. Vintner.
Call the vineyard right now.
And an Uber.
Yeah. So let's move right along to our main topic of the day, which is kind of things nobody told us. And there's some things that nobody told us in Cindy's book, too.
Yes.
One of the things I really laughed out loud was that I didn't know. Nobody told me I had to stick toothpicks between my toes to get that full body sun coverage.
Well, not entire toothpicks, you know.
I know. Little
you break it into half small chunks.
Yeah.
So I'd like to preface this with the book we're discussing is Tansmania, written by our guest co-host, Cindy Hoyt, and it's subtitled Answers Sunbathing's Most Burning Questions.
Yeah.
And she opens it with, I'm not a medical professional. This is not at all the kind of book medical professionals are in the habit of writing. Most of it's just for fun. What made you do this?
I don't know.
But wait. Are we going to talk about... things nobody told us before we talk about that?
Well, no, we're
talking
about
things, it all.
Things nobody told us in Cindy's book.
In Cindy's book.
And then we'll move on to the others.
Okay. All right. Got it.
All right. So what did you put in this book that surprised you, Ms. Hoyt?
That surprised me.
Yeah, or that you thought would be something that nobody else knew.
Well, most of the stuff I made up.
So that
I figured nobody else would know that.
That's right.
No, there were just, you know, a lot of the historical things. It's so much of it is just made up stuff, just fun stuff.
Well, I was really intrigued by your astrology. Oh, I love the astrology. I'd like to read one.
Go ahead.
Aquarius. It's mine, of course. I'm reading my own. Okay. Yeah. You have an inventive mind and are inclined toward innovation. You're always the first in your group to try a new sunscreen, even if the pharmaceutical ingredients include hydrogenated iguana dung. This is the dawning of your age and all, but some people still distrust you. This is because Aquarians are notorious for spilling things, and nobody wants iguana dung on their nachos.
See, true. I made that up. There are probably people out there who like iguana dung. What sign are you, Susan?
Who knows?
I'm a Leo.
You should read yours.
Okay, what page is that on?
42.
All right, here I go.
And then I'll go after that because it follows, actually.
Okay.
Yes, that's right. Leo, you shouldn't go to the pool either. The sun will ravage that beautiful mane of yours, and why risk a head full of split ends for a few hours on a chaise? Already too late. Now we raised our chances by a sixth. Leos make excellent partners due to their great generosity with money. Oh, yeah? In fact, Leos are so generous that they will all happily send 1,000 bitcoins to us here at Tanning Central right away. Don't worry about capital gains tax. We'll text you our offshore account number. Tanning buddies, Aries, Sagittarius, knows your PIN number, Aquarius.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm the sign right after that, Virgo. Yeah. Which, of course, says Virgos are spellbindingly attractive, intelligent, and witty.
And you made that up, too.
Totally made that up.
Yeah.
They always have stunning tans, no matter that it's February 6th in North Dakota. They never suffer negative consequences from sun exposure, especially that premature aging bit. Everyone loves to be around Virgos and is always sending them presents, such as 1,000 bitcoins, especially on their birthdays, which are usually September 7th.
Usually.
Such presents to Virgos can be sent any time of year. There's no penalty for early deposits.
So have you been a sun worshiper in your life? Is that what prompted you?
Well, when I was, you know, a teenager, back in the olden years, golden years, so to speak. You know, we were all being told like 24/7, you turn on the TV and there were ads for tanning products.
Oh, yeah.
And doctors were saying tanning was good for you, and Copper Tone had a product that they guaranteed were going to block out the burning rays and just admit the tanning rays, even though their SPF was two.
Yes,
that was the highest SPF. In fact, it wasn't even called SPF back then. So, you know, we all thought that's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. Again, in our cultural context of beauty, in the 70s, 60s and 70s, really ever since the 30s. But that was a thing that was imparted to us, that tans look good. So
us being white women.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, a lot of other cultures go a long way in the opposite direction to keep from getting their skin darkened by the sun.
Right. Right.
But yeah, we just thought, hey, this is great. It's good for us. It looks good. All we have to do is lay outside and we'll look better after 2 hours. And what other beauty treatment can you say that about?
I know. That's just true. Go just lay around
lie
and
down,
get beautiful.
Relax, listen to some music and yay, voila.
And then years later, it turns into brown spots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the doctors finally figured that out.
Yes. Right. And skin cancer.
Took a little while. Yeah.
But I like the, one of the things that struck me was your tanning diet.
Oh, yeah.
Sunbather's
diet. That's real. That stuff's real.
The antioxidants. I have to read this part because it's hilarious. Antioxidants eliminate free radicals. If you think of yourself as a free radical, you should skip this section on the grounds that you might be eliminated. Antioxidants can help counter the sun's skin-damaging effects and occur naturally in ginseng root, green tea, and foods containing vitamin E, vitamin C, beta-carotene, shown to protect against the aging effects of UVB radiation, and para-aminobenzoic acid.
That's not even the hardest one in that chapter. That's the bad guys chapter.
Oh, right. Chemistry majors will recognize that last as PABA, a B-complex vitamin found in potatoes, long discontinued as a sunscreen ingredient. As far as we know, there have been no tests regarding slathering mashed potatoes directly onto your body, so we don't recommend it unless you're half-baked. The puns.
The puns are good. Just it. Yeah.
Even the research, I have dressed up in you know, just humor.
It's very,
it's a spoonful of sugar that helps all of those paraminobenzoic acids go down.
And yes, these things are true about antioxidants and what's good for you to eat in general.
Yeah, and there's a lot of actual research in here.
Yeah.
There was a lot.
A fair amount. Okay, oh. Some.
Yeah, there were, okay. All right, there was some.
Page 61.
Well, again, the name of the book is Tansmania. And I have to tell you a little story, Cindy. Because Susan sent me an email, and we were talking about Tansmania and when we were going to be able to do this show. And I said, I am so excited. I said, I love Tasmania. It's the favorite place I've ever been. I can't wait to talk about Tasmania. So well, my dyslexia got in the way.
No, well, yours and Google's
Amazon. Oh, I bet.
If you go to Amazon to find the book, you have to actually Google Cindy Hoyt. Tansmania, because if you don't, all you will get is a list of Tasmanian tour guides. Yeah. And if you say, no, I don't want that, they'll start giving you Tanzanian tour guides.
Oh.
And I really should have done some more research before I titled this book.
I think it's a great title.
It is.
I love it. And, yeah. And tell folks when they can see you live and in person.
Oh, right. This Sunday at 5:00. On the Snapdragon patio, and I want to emphasize,
fabulous.
If you're worried about COVID, it is the patio. We will be outside. So
that's great. Well, we'll look forward to that. And Cindy, you've done a really great job. And books don't make me laugh out loud. This one did.
Yay.
So, thank you.
I have accomplished my life goal.
Yeah, oh, your whole life.
Well, one of them.
Well, let's, so what you got in the next department?
The next department is... things nobody told us.
Nobody told us.
That we
wish
that
tanning was bad for you.
Yes, like tanning was bad for you. Right, yeah. Exactly. So I came up with a few. The first one that comes to my mind is sometimes you will hate your spouse for days or even weeks. And I actually heard about this on a podcast from a guy who does marital counseling.
I remember when you were talking about this.
And he titled it Normal Marital Hatred.
Mm-hmm.
I have clung to this notion.
It's normal, and then we're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. What happens. Yeah. What else?
Your children will drive you crazy.
Certifiable at times.
Yeah. Yes, right. Yeah. Here's one that I love. Menopause, unlike a lot of people think, is freeing. Menopause is great. You then travel light, and if you manage to get LASIK surgery at the same time, you can dump both the contact lens implements and the menstruation implements when you travel.
And then you'll be done.
And
that's
you're done.
Good. Yeah, that
and
is
And then
good.
You kind of feel like a guy. You don't have a lot of sympathy for your friends who are still having PMS. But,
and there's no excuse for that, of course.
For PMS?
For PMS. No. Yeah. Not when you're on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Oh, okay. I was going to have to say, there needs to be a different show if you're going to talk about that.
Well, that will be a different show. We've edged up on it a couple of times.
So what do you have, Cindy? Things nobody told you.
That aging brings depth to everything.
And it really does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It's so much better now than... You know, I mean, just sort of the way you feel about the world.
Well, and I think the way you feel about yourself.
Yeah.
The older yourself I get, the better I feel about myself. And I find that I can say a lot of stuff that I wouldn't have said 15 years ago. You know, nobody told me that my mouth was going to get bigger.
Nobody told me that my ears, my nose, and my feet weren't going to keep growing.
Yeah, but you know what?
But you get smarter.
They do. Your ears never stop growing.
I know.
That's just so
I'm
awful.
Just, you know, I'm imagining what it's going to be like at 90. Mm-hmm. I'll be like those African. I
can
be very attractive in Africa.
You know,
moved here when I was 60 from...
We were talking about, we're talking about aging issues and all the things that happen to us when we get old. And I got to thinking that I wonder what the 40-somethings have to say about things we never told them. And I asked Angela DeBias what she thought, and she said, nobody told me I was going to have to be the IT department for my parents.
Yep.
Which is just so true.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else in the Ryan in the 40-something age range said that nobody told him about capitalism and how hard it was.
Oh.
And how you really had to. He said, I used to think America was the best place to live. He
well,
said,
didn't we all?
And yeah, we right. all did, yeah.
And we still do if we live south of Mason-Dixon line.
Well, that's yeah. true, yeah. But, you know, the whole capitalism thing and how hard it is to get a leg up if you're not given a good head start in the beginning. And nobody really talked about that.
Yeah, the whole
American dream.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the American
bootstraps,
dream myth.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you start at the bottom, you've got a whole lot farther to go than the folks who started right. at the middle or the top.
Right.
And that's where the American dream resides.
And
or
then
actually gets
one
realized.
More 40-something, which I really, really loved, was it was Christine, and she said, "Nobody told me that I was ever going to be loved this much."
Oh,
wow.
Oh,
nice.
I thought that was so good.
Yeah. That's great.
So, nobody told me a lot of stuff. I'd rather hear about.
Well,
what
one of the things
think.
That occurred to me is that everybody lies about sex and sales,
and the and the weight of the fish,
or
yeah, the length
right.
of the fish.
Right. Of the fish.
Yeah, right.
How many smoots long was that
yeah.
fish?
Yeah, smoot. We'll never forget about Mr. Smoot.
That's right. And the other thing is, you're not the only one who's not getting laid. Those people who talk about it are lying. Those people who
especially
are getting
if they
laid,
talk about it
talk.
On Facebook.
Well, yeah. yeah. Over and over and over.
But everyone right. knows. That's yeah. just right. lying central.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I've got a couple of them. Loving mankind is hard unless you're drunk. That's one of the
and
things
then you
nobody
love everybody.
Told me. You know, I thought it was going to be easy because we grew up in the 60s and it was all
peace, love, and brotherhood and sisterhood.
Yeah. And I thought, right. boy, I'm going to love everybody just as soon as I become an adult.
yeah, that
and
didn't
that's
happen.
Because the adults were drinking.
And they always had so much fun.
I love exactly. you guys. I love you guys.
Yeah. And the other one I wrote down was that your acts of kindness will bring you pleasure every time you remember them, which will be surprisingly often.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know,
on that note, I want to recognize the kindness of our underwriters.
Oh, yes, please.
BOB programming support is provided by the Vashon Island Golf and Country Club, now accepting new members with options available to fit your family's needs. A one-year trial membership is also available for a limited time. Call 206-463-9410 for pricing and details on a membership suited to your family. Public guest play is welcome on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturdays after 12 noon.
Vashon Island Growers Association, VIGA, connects islanders at every step of the local food cycle, providing instructional videos, farmer training, food preservation equipment, and farm stand support. VIGA ensures every islander has access to food, regardless of income. Join us Saturdays, 10 to 2 at the Farmers Market, and find more information at vigavashon.org.
Thank you, underwriters. Thank you, VIGA, for providing food for those who can't go to the
VIGA.
Farmers Market
yes.
and buy it.
Yes.
Okay, we're talking about things nobody ever told us.
And we are the Klatch.
And we are the...
You're
are,
listening
yes.
to the Klatch.
Yes.
With Linda Nygaard, Susan McCabe.
And Cindy Hoyt.
Temporary guest.
Our
Cindy
guest
Hoyt.
Host.
Yes.
Yes. Here's one. The nerds in high school grow up to be the most interesting adults.
It's really true.
And often the richest.
Oh.
That makes
well,
sense.
Well, nobody told me that.
Tech, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there's the, as you get aged, as you get older, you will have to pluck your chin hairs and your mustache, but you won't have to shave your legs as much.
That's true. Although that reminds me of something nobody told me. When I had cancer and had chemo, you know, you're going to lose your hair and you know you're going to do that and that's fine. And so I was bald and I really loved it. I loved being bald. I just wore great big earrings and big red lips and stuff,
fun.
You know. But nobody told me that every hair on my body, including my nostril hairs, was going to fall out, wow, except the goat hairs on my chin.
No,
no kidding?
They did not fall out.
So does a man's beard stay on if it's a man who has beard?
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know, but I lost my eyebrows, my eyelashes, everything. And I still had 4 goat hairs on my chin that I had to pluck. So,
laser baby.
You men who are listening, I'm sure this is so disgusting.
Yes, really.
But it happens to every woman.
Well, that's why I go to a laser spa in Tacoma.
Yeah, do that.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's great.
Does it hurt?
Only for a few seconds. It's very...
Does it grow back?
It's like if someone snaps you with a rubber band.
I wonder how similar that is to getting a tattoo. None of us here has a tattoo, do we?
No.
I do. You do? On my eyes.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
I have eyeliner tattoos.
Oh, you did? Does that hurt?
Yes. That's kind of bothersome. They put stuff on while they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
What, but, numbing stuff?
Uh-huh.
Do they do that with regular tattoos, or do you know?
I don't know. I don't have one of the any other places tattoos.
I've often wanted to get a tattoo, but you know, as time goes on, the picture could really change.
Yeah, that's I've always
thought. Well, yeah, but
if
we think about it now, time's already gone on. You know?
Yeah so
but
you,
I think I mean, it's so going to keep going on, Linda.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know. Yeah. But
specifically, I think it's going to keep going south.
Yes. How low can
going
you go?
That used to be a navel tattoo. Now.
Now. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Oops. That's a pube.
Yeah.
Hey.
Here's one. X-rated. Somewhere, someone sometimes masturbates thinking of you.
Oh, my God.
No one ever told me that.
Wait. Globally, you mean? Because I haven't met that many international men.
Well, who's to say it's a man?
Right. And it could be anywhere.
Good point.
Yeah.
That tour guide in Egypt,
she liked
at me.
You. I remember you telling me about
that.
Her. Yeah. She liked you a lot. Ah, okay. Next.
And she said specifically, I don't like rubbing shoulders with men at the mosque. So I like it that the women are on this side.
Oh, that. Okay.
So I'm going, okay, she's hot for me.
That's right.
That's very telling.
Why else would she say something like that?
That's right. There's no other reason.
And you know, women are as horny as men. They just have to be more subtle about it, or they hide their boners better.
Oh, my God. That kind of stuff tires me.
What, sex stuff?
No.
Hiding your boner?
Hiding your boner.
I don't want to hide my boner.
Let your freak boner fly.
Okay.
It would be a freak boner, believe me.
Oh, I think we've just been knocked off the air.
Okay.
No, we haven't. We haven't said
anything
that we're not supposed to. No.
Susan, why don't you tell me what those 7 words are?
Ooh, that was a trick question.
That was a trap.
That was a trap. That's kind of like, are you still beating your wife?
Yeah. Funny, though, it's the second time I thought of George Carlin during this show.
Oh, yeah,
really?
Because you can't.
What was the first
time? Well, when we were talking about what men think is beautiful, what women think is beautiful, I was remembering George Carlin's line. You know, he said, women are always messing with their eyebrows, shaping their eyebrows, coloring their eyebrows, and men are like eyebrows. Do you have 2? Good.
It's good.
As opposed to the
eyebrows are
the
really
unibrow.
Now, yes. Eyebrows are really the thing right now.
Oh yeah,
I mean, oh my goodness, these eyebrows.
Yeah, they are.
That's another weird new tattoo people are getting.
Mm. Eyebrow tattoos?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're like they cut you with a razor in these little
hash marks.
Hash marks, and then they put tattoo ink into those, and it looks like you have
bushy eyebrows.
Regular. You know, hair, eyebrow, but it's flat and it never turns gray. So you have to watch out for that.
Oh, well, I just can't imagine.
Huh, it sounds incredibly painful. Yeah. I think I'm way too puny to get a tattoo. Though I'd love to have one. I'd love to have a tattoo of a dolphin.
Maybe you should get one with sedation.
Yeah. Yes, that's good.
No, there's an idea.
Yeah.
Do you have any more things people didn't tell you? Cindy Hoyt?
No. That's...
Oh, so you know everything else?
Well, you said to also think about things we wish people hadn't told us.
Yeah.
So, not just things they didn't tell us, but when they did tell us, did we wish they hadn't told us?
So what did you come up with
a few
there?
Things like that. Well, the one that came to mind immediately was when I announced my engagement to Jeff. My Aunt Carol told me that men would always leave you in the lurch.
Oh, she oh, did.
Aunt Carol.
You didn't have to tell me that.
I know Uncle Jimmy left you in the lurch, but on the other hand, six kids, I would have left you in the lurch.
Yeah, whose idea was that? What else?
Well, I can tell you one thing that a friend of mine called me a long, long time ago. Hadn't heard from her in years. And we grew up together and we were just talking on the phone. And our dads were really good friends. And she said, you know, just thinking about our dads and how funny they were and how all these things, you know. And I said, yeah. And she said, hey, so what was the worst advice? No, the best advice your dad ever gave you that you never took.
Oh.
And I said, well, what I could think of at that time was he told me you get a job at the courthouse for 30 years and then I could retire rich.
That was good advice, you thought?
Well, it was solid advice. I mean, if if you get a job at the courthouse and stay there and retire, you have a nice pension.
But, and then what?
Yeah, but you know, I think I would have found probably after 6 months or so, my office would have been moved to the state penitentiary because
I was thinking if the courthouse also had the jail,
it
would have been a short walk.
Yeah. And the other thing he always said was more of a warning, was don't go where you have to cover your tracks.
Mm.
Which I really like.
That's a good one. Yeah. I like that.
That is a good one.
Did you follow that?
Yeah,
we can't see your tracks.
Yeah, I should say, do you see any tracks here?
I got some good advice from one of my kids. And that was, if you want to learn something new, you must be willing to feel stupid for a while.
Yeah. You know, that's really big because I remember in college feeling stupid, so stupid, I wasn't going to ask the question. Which is stupid.
And right, you lose some.
I know that you lose
to a lot of students of all ages.
It does. It really does. And it's, that's good advice.
And I think here's advice for some of our millennials. A college degree only means you can finish something, not that you're good at it.
And not that you're going to get a job because of it.
Boy, is that the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really true. Yeah. Our lessons in life come frequently, I think. And I love remembering what it is we were thinking about at one point and who said what to us. And I think we all kind of came through with a lot of things we didn't know and wish we had, and some things we knew and wish we didn't know. Do you have any of those things that you wish you didn't know?
Well, this is something I learned from Trump.
Oh, good.
There's a lot of things I wish I didn't know about him.
I learned something from Trump. And here's what I learned. Loyalty is good. Blind devotion is stupid.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, it's true.
Besides, because loyalty is earned.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Blind devotion is paid for. At least in advertising dollars these days.
And from personal experience, I learned that wearing the wrong underwear can ruin your day.
Oh. That? Yeah.
That's very true.
That is a biggie.
I'm trying to
get over the hurdle of throwing away that underwear. But being a grandchild of the Depression, I'm having trouble doing that.
Yeah, stretched out stuff.
Take
that
my
really
advice. Get rid of it.
Uncomfortable,
or the opposite, the tight stuff.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the tight stuff. Awful.
That turns into a thong.
Yeah.
Dental floss for your crack.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No, don't go there. Let's not go there.
No, I will never go there ever. Well, I'll prove it to you right now.
Oh, it's good. It's not television.
Cindy's going commando. Okay, here's another one. When you choose a career, think about the life it will create for you, not just how you're going to make a living.
Oh, yeah.
That's
good.
No, that's really good. You know, I wish someone had said those kinds of things when I was 17, 18, 22.
Yeah.
You know, in that early era when you're trying to figure out which way's up, but they said I should go this way, so I'll go, you know. Yeah.
I've often thought I would like to teach a high school class that is just stuff like what we've been talking about and more, you know, just things that are important to know in life, but you're not going to find them in advanced math. You're not going to find them in your physics class or your English class.
Or your social media?
Well, that's just so many things that you have to find out the hard way. And so you may not find out about a lot of them till you're 55 or 65. And you could have learned them when you were 17.
If somebody had just said it.
If someone had just said it.
Yeah. Yes, right.
Well, you know, from a young woman's standpoint, not that I'm a young woman, but when I was a young woman, there were a lot of things in the female anatomy that my mother never told me or never, you know, the sort of things that we're going to go through as a woman, as in, you know, starting your period or having your first baby or things that we, you know, I think the generation before us just kind of thought, well, that's the way it is. Just deal. They never really thought about it. And all the surprises we get would be nice to have known it earlier, I think.
Yeah, you know, and I think that there was that the whole Victorian reticence to talk about
bodily functions
and the things that really do affect your life or the things that that were engineered at one time to keep women married or to keep women
barefoot
under,
and pregnant.
Under control. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was so much reticence to talk about those things. And I do think the generation of the 60s and 70s started breaking those barriers.
We did. We did. And here we are today, and now we're out of time.
We are.
And I just want to say thank you to everybody for listening, all two of you. Hello.
And thank you, Cindy Hoyt,
for being our guest host.
That was so fun.
It was really fun to see you.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah. And we will see the rest of you. Well, you'll hear us on August 24th, and we'll look forward to that. The episode will be up on the web soon, so you can get your Voice of Ash On app out and listen anytime you want.
You can get your Voice of Ash On.
Get your Voice of Ash.